Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Educating for Success show. We bring families together with home business.
Hey, this is Ray Perry coming to you from the backside of nowhere in southern Tennessee. Today we have with us my social media expert, Jennifer Navarrete, who is going to share with us a little bit more about social media and how to use podcasts, because podcasts are a thing of the future. And we also want to talk about a few of the different things that we're going to have featured at our upcoming home business conference. But social media is one of those fun things that you can just never get enough of. So I want to introduce to you my co-host, bringing her back again from San Antonio, Texas, Jennifer Navarrete. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hey, Ray. You know, we're going to be talking about podcasts today, and I have to say it's my very favorite topic of all. And anyone who knows me knows that I got my start in this world through podcasting, and it's something that I continue to do. It's something that now, it started in 2004, and I became involved in 2005. So we're looking at 12 years later, podcasting is actually starting to kind of mature and grow up a little bit. And they call it something the Serial effect, meaning that Serial was a show in reference to a murder case that went on, and it went on for a very long time. It had people at the edge of their seats. But all of a sudden, there was a renewed interest in what podcasts could offer. And so we look at, you know, Pew Research, and we look at Edison and the different types of statistics that they're putting out there, and more people are either listening to podcasts or even creating podcasts. And the demographics do vary quite a bit depending on the types of shows, but there really is an opportunity out there for you to get your share your message near, far, and wide by using an audio platform.
That is awesome. And, you know, the other cool thing is that the audio platform is your phone. Who'd have thought that your phone could do so many different things for you like it does right now? I mean, I've been listening to podcasts this morning from some friends of mine, and they sound like they were recorded in a studio, but yet you know they were recorded in somebody's bedroom, and the microphone that they're using is actually a telephone. And so it's just remarkable to me how far technology has come in such a short time so that we have the ability to do such interesting things. Just fascinating to me.
Well, you know, we look at the technology piece, and so you and I are talking on a phone, and we're using a platform that's meant, Blog Talk Radio, which is meant to be used, phones are meant to be used for. But even if you wanted to just buy a very inexpensive gamer mic and you wanted to use Skype to do interviews, you absolutely could. If you wanted to just pre-record and do a little post-production, there's a lot of tools out there. Audacity is a free cross-platform tool. You can use it on Windows. You can use it on Mac. You can use it on Linux. So I think that's one of the most powerful pieces out there, is that it doesn't really matter what platform you're using. You can absolutely edit in Audacity, and it's a free program that's out there and has lots of bells and whistles. You may think, well, Jennifer, if it's free, how can it be any good? It's actually very, very intense. I mean, there's a whole lot of features. It's very feature-rich. There's really great noise modification. If you've got some background noise and you want to get rid of it, there's a little section where you can just, you know, highlight your audio and then click noise removal. Well, first you highlight what you want to remove, the noise that you want to remove, and then you go remove it, and it does, and it improves the quality of your sound. There's a lot of ways that you can, you know, do fun things. You don't just have to do voice recordings. You can do music. There's any number of tools out there. But, yeah, I will say that even if you wanted to go buy a mic, one of the mics that I'm using right now, since we're going to talk about podcasting, I'll get just a tad bit technical on the equipment side, but there is a mic out there that is called an Audio-Technica ATR-2100. And it's not an expensive mic. It's probably anywhere from $40 to $75, $80. It just depends on who you buy it from. If you go to Amazon, you're going to see quite the price range. And if you go to eBay, you're going to see quite the price range. But it's a mic that's well worth it. I bought a brand new one not too long ago in March for about $60, and I bought a used one just this past weekend on eBay for $35. The quality that comes out of this little, tiny little mic, it's a very unassuming mic, is rivaled to $300 and $400 mics. Because I did my research and listened to a bunch of comparisons. And when I listened to the cross comparison between this, you know, what at the time for me was a $60 mic and what would have been a almost $400 mic, the difference was very, very small. And yet the price point was quite large. So I picked it up and have been extremely satisfied with the sound that I get from it, both in very noisy environments where you've got lots and lots of things going on that are very, very loud and you're doing an interview. You're still able to hear some of that sound, you know, that's in the audience, but it is very muted. And yet the person that is speaking comes across extremely clear. And so what that tells you is that it's got a really good range. So sometimes the best tool is not the most expensive tool, and sometimes it's really quite affordable.
Oh, that is so awesome. I am so thrilled that you've shared that with us. Now, one other thing that you were sharing with me privately a couple weeks ago, I was about to go to a live event, and you said, now, you don't have to go run a bunch of equipment. You can just take your phone, and there's a couple little gadgets that you can get that are very inexpensive on Amazon or somewhere that you can take with you to make your phone into a recording studio. Now, I don't remember what all of them were. I bought several of them, but one of them was another mic, another one was a stand or something. Tell us a little bit about the little cheap gadgets that you can put with your phone to turn it more into a recording studio for you in a live event.
You know, I travel a lot and I do lots of things, and I have big, heavy equipment. I've got a very large, nice tripod, but that thing weighs a ton. And then I have a big camera that's also fantastic, HD 1080. It's really great. But it's also a little bit on the big side. When I'm going to events and I want to be footloose and fancy-free, as you said, Ray, we've got our everything we need in our pocket. It's on our phone. And what I do is I have a tiny little tripod that weighs next to nothing that I can put anywhere or hold. And then I also have a mic system that is another Audio-Technica product that is specifically meant for mobile phones. And it's a wired lav mic that has amplified power, meaning that there's a little battery there. You can turn it on and off. But what happens is that the sound quality that comes from that mic is, once again, I'm so happy with the Audio-Technica brand right now. I haven't tried all of their products, but these two products that I purchased have been very, very key in me capturing really quality interviews in noisy environments. And, of course, in quiet environments, they're absolutely, you know, almost perfect or almost pristine. But considering what I do is happening typically at events where there's a lot going on, and if you have a business, you know, you have business events or you have clients that are, you know, if you're visiting with them at their place of business and, you know, there's always the hustle and bustle of what's going on in an office or a factory or really anywhere, it's still an opportunity to capture some really good content. And I kind of like, I'm one of those kind of odd people that I really kind of like that ambient noise in the background when I'm at events, because it really does lend itself to the fact that there's stuff going on. And the reason that you're excited about what's happening is because there's great stuff going on. And if it were silent, as you know, silent as a church mouse in the background, and I'm telling you, man, it's really great here and there's so much happening, and, you know, that wouldn't translate very well. So don't be afraid of that surrounding, you know, sound. If you've got some decent equipment, that, once again, is not a lot. That little Audio-Technica mic that I'm telling you about is $29. Once again, very, very inexpensive. But the quality is really outstanding. And I'll give you the name of it for folks who are listening really quickly. I've got to go look it up really quickly because, you know, they always give you the Audio-Technica and then it starts, you know, with letters and then you got a bunch of, you know, numbers after that. But let me make sure I get it correct for folks who would be interested in purchasing this. It's an Audio-Technica ATR-3350IS. Okay? ATR-3350IS. And if you just go to Amazon and just type that in, it's $29. And by the way, the cord is extremely long. And I'll give you an example of how I used it just this past weekend. I was in Houston at a client event and wanted to do an interview, but I didn't want to break out the big camera, so I'm like, oh, no big deal. I had a full-size tripod in the trunk, so I'm like, oh, I'll use that. I had a mobile phone tripod adapter, which will just plug into the tripod, any tripod, doesn't have to be anything fancy, and it holds the phone. Well, then I just plugged the ATR 3350 IS, and then the wire was so long that I could have been across the room, and I probably would have still had wire. So the cameraman, who happened to be my son, had the tripod and the phone, and, you know, could get a distance in order to get, you know, what was all going on in the background. And I could do the interview with the person I was interviewing, and it came out extremely clear, and we got a big shot. Because a lot of times if you're using your mobile phone, you're like, oh, well, if I want to get some decent audio, I have to be, like, up close and personal. And when you do that, you know, you kind of get that headshot kind of a thing, and it's great, but then you're missing out on what's all the action that's going on behind you. You know, how do we get a sense of the activity that's happening at an event? And that's what this was able to do. So These two little tools for well under $100, you're going to be well on your way, and all you need is your mobile device to get it all done, really, and you'll be extremely happy because even the big mic, the ATR2100, has the ability to be plugged into your computer. It has an XLR jack if you want to go, you know, into a mixer. There's all kinds of functionality. So don't let the tech stop you. And when it comes, even if you're doing videos, these are great tools to use for audio. And as you all know, if you want to have a good video, you've got to have good audio. You could kind of have not that great video if you had really great audio. But if you have great video and terrible audio, you're going to lose a lot of folks. So pay attention to the audio. And I've just shared a couple of really inexpensive tools that will help you capture great audio no matter where you're at.
And that is such an important thing to understand. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. And getting back to the whole concept of the background noise, that's something that's always kind of concerned me because as an event planner, I like for things to be kind of controlled and I like for people to be able to hear and for everybody to be able to see things. And it's kind of always bothered me when they set the camera up that's like inside of a doorway or inside of a ballroom where there's a lot of people milling around and there's a lot of noise going on and somebody's trying to conduct a testimony interview. To me, when I'm trying to give an interview like that, it's hard for me to focus because I'm so caught up in the noise. I'm thinking about all the noise that's going on around me, and I have a hard time thinking sometimes of what to say and staying on track. And I've always wondered why they do that. And some interviewers are more skilled than others in doing that because if you have a little bit of ambient noise, it seems like it's okay. But if you do it inside of a ballroom where there's a lot of people talking and there's a lot of music playing, and the noise level is just high, it's just very distracting to me. And when you go back and listen to the recording and you can hear the noise, if it's too loud in the background and it's overbearing, it doesn't, the testimony side of it doesn't work. So are there any kind of rules for how to set that all up so that you can get that ambient noise level correct?
I will say that there's a couple of things that you're talking about. If you're wanting to have evergreen content, meaning you want a testimonial that is not just about your event, then you definitely want to have a more controlled environment because you want a testimony that doesn't matter, is not event-specific. Maybe it's just about, in this case, the Educating for Success community. And being at an event is a distraction if I just want to join the online community. So there's two ways to look at it. You really have to be clear on what is it that you want to get out of it. If you're wanting to get testimonials from folks this year or to share with others throughout the year for years to come about future events, then you definitely should have that feeling of being at the event. But if you want evergreen testimonials where you're looking at folks who may want to join the community or may want to know more about you and really the impact that you've had in their life as being part of your group or your community, then those should not be in that live environment. They should really be in more of a closed area. So my recommendation for folks trying to capture, you know, evergreen content and, you know, day of event type content would be to have two different setups. Have one set up where you're you know, promoting the event and really capturing those testimonials, and then have a second one where you're in a quiet area where folks can really kind of calmly tell their story. And that's really what you're looking for. You're kind of looking for a day in the life for them and what got them involved with Educating for Success or whatever your whoever our listeners' groups happen to be, what got them involved with the project, what it means to be involved in the community, and the impact that it's had on their business. Just as a day-to-day, and so do you want to, so the question becomes, do you get two complete different setups? No, not necessarily. I would say that probably there'd be a specific day or specific afternoon or time frame that you'd set aside in a quiet room and ask some of those folks that have volunteered to do interviews just to go into that quiet room and kind of frame it differently. So you have two different ways of capturing those, either interviews and or testimonials, and both of them have a purpose, and they have, you know, they have a direction, and they really speak to, you know, that specific need, as opposed to trying to do the live ones where you're getting folks to kind of bare their heart about what it's meant to be part of the community. That doesn't really tie well into so much. Then in that case, it is a distraction, and it actually takes away from the value of what they're sharing. And so a quiet area for those more intimate type of testimonials or interviews is definitely going to be appropriate. So for me, what you were asking is, how do I do that? Well, I look at what's the goal for what we're trying to accomplish. And if it's really about the event, then, yeah, I want some of that ambient sound and some of that activity in the background, because if I'm looking at should I be going to this event, at least a hint of it. But if I'm really wanting that day in the life or someone telling a heartfelt story of the impact being part of the community has been in the, and really where their, how their family business has grown or their family has grown, that definitely lends itself to more of a quiet environment. And so I would do two separate recordings and maybe even do them on separate days just to kind of break that up. So let's say you have a family that wants to do more than one testimonial. You don't want to do them back to back like that because, you know, you want to get them fresh. So I would just divide and conquer.
Okay, great. Now, another thing, as you were talking about the two types of testimonies that you could have, I had a thought on a third, and I don't know if this would be something that would you'd have very much success at or not, but let me know what you think about it. What if you sent an email to the people on your email list or in a particular Facebook group that you're talking to all the time, people that you know that are in your coaching program or that you interact with on a weekly basis or whatever that you trust, and just ask them to record a video testimony on their phone and then send it to you? Have you ever seen anyone have success with that?
Mm-hmm. Actually, the things I see about that are usually contest-driven. And something that's kind of more fun and interactive. But, yes, that would definitely work. What I would do, though, just once again, not everybody does this, but just me as Jennifer, what I would do is if folks were interested in doing testimonials or if you were looking for them and saying, hey, if you're, we're looking for testimonials on this or if we've made an impact in your life, do that. I would also send in the email a tip to a great testimonial, and one of the keys would be for them to – have the phone recording in a horizontal, so that the phone is not vertical but horizontal. Or if that doesn't make any sense, if you look at the television screen that's in your living room and you compare your phone to a television screen, is it vertical or horizontal? So you want it to be as if it's a TV. So you want to have the tips thing. So the tip number one would be to have your phone horizontal, right, or landscape as opposed to portrait. Trying to think of the different words that folks use. So you'd be looking for landscape. And if possible, if they could have it steady instead of the shaky thing, that would be great. But once again, sometimes the selfie video actually works. And I do the selfie videos all the time. And once again, I'm looking at where is it appropriate, how does it fit, and it depends on the context of it. But if you're wanting to do something a little bit more structured, I would say you can do one of two things. One, you can do the hand-holding, but if you're going to do that, don't have a long testimonial because your hands are going to get, your arms going to get tired. Two, if you're going to do something lengthy, it's probably a better idea to have the phone on a little tripod or even lean it up against something so that it's, steady. And then you can do your testimonial. And then I would say if you don't have a mic that you can have close to the, that gives you some distance from the phone, then you're going to need to be close to the phone so that the phone can capture the audio, because the smartphones have pretty darn good audio capture ability, but it is dependent on, how close you are to it. And, of course, if there's a lot of ambient noise, that's definitely going to take away from it. So if they don't have the ability to record with either a lapel mic or even a handheld mic or some kind of mic, they're going to need to be up close and personal. So I would definitely share maybe some good practices for making a great, video and just share that with my audience. So that way, because what will happen is you'll get folks who hold it, portrait or vertical, and that doesn't play very, because then you get go to YouTube and then we have these, black lines on the side. I think Facebook Live is, Facebook Live and Periscope are doing a lot to kind of get rid of that. But if you're just doing it from your phone, then that's not even going to be a part of it. But, yeah, I would give just a few tips on how to have a successful testimonial video and share that out, and hopefully folks will learn from it. And these are tips that not, some of it seems like common sense, but if you're not someone who's into doing video, then it's something that you're not familiar with because it's just something that you're not doing. You're running your business, you're raising your family, you're educating your children. And, these little simple video production and audio production tips would go a long way, and I think they'd be really helpful.
Now, That is awesome. I always love listening to you talk about social media and all the cool little things that we can do that are so inexpensive these days to make a difference in people's lives and to be able to advertise the things that we care about, that we believe that people need and want. And so we are going to have Jennifer speak more about social media at our upcoming 2016 Home Business Conference, which is going to be in Louisville, Kentucky this year on August 12th through 14th. And our keynote is going to be Joel Salatin, who is a farmer extraordinaire from Smokes, Virginia. He is in the middle of the Shenandoah Valley and is one of those people that knows how to monetize farming in a huge way. He's going to be our keynote this year. We're going to have a variety of other topics there, as well as social media, and Jennifer's going to be there to share about that. But what I've done today is I've invited a guest to come on real quick and just tell us a little bit about how he has been impacted by Joel Salatin and his concepts of farming, because we've had Joel speak at our conference before in the past, and he was such a hit that we decided to bring him back before again. But let me just share with you how this happened. Basically, we were on a call not too long ago, a couple years ago. Time is irrelevant to me. Anything before yesterday, I can't remember. Anyway, a few years ago, I was doing a protege call, and I was announcing the upcoming conference, and I just threw out to the proteges, who are our students, and I said, who would you like to hear? What topic would you like to learn about? And a person that was on the call back and said farming, and then they threw out the name Joel Salatin, and I said, you know what, that guy's kind of a big name, I don't know if we can get him or not, but I was surprised that we could. We eventually did. It took me a little bit of working to get, but we finally got him, and we had him, and he was wonderful. So I've invited that protege to come on the call with us today and just tell us a little bit about how that has, that whole thing has impacted his life since seeing Joel. So I want to welcome from Joy Acres Farm in Joy, Kentucky, Ralph Hendricks. Welcome, Ralph.
Oh, thank you, Ray. It's great to be here.
Yeah, good to have you here. So you were on the call with your wife, Debbie, and your daughter, Emily, and so you decided, you typed in that you would love to see Joel and to learn more about farming. So how has that impacted your life? What have you done with that since you have heard and gotten to know Joel and have studied his methods?
Oh, well, we first found out about Joel Salatin through a friend of ours who had a book that he had written called You Can Farm. I read that book, and I instantly fell in love with farming, and he made it sound so easy. I've read another book or two of his since, and I remember that call that we had, and I was so excited about farming anyway, and we live out in a rural area, and I had mentioned Joel Salatin. Well, that day, we had been raising chickens for a while, but that day or a couple days later, I went ahead and I just ordered about 100 or 50 to 100 chickens to raise for meat. And I hung up the phone after talking to the lady about ordering them, and I thought, what did I just do? Well, anyway, the chickens weren't supposed to arrive until after we came back from the conference where Joel was going to speak. And so, I mean, we were ready. I didn't have anything ready, but after the conference, meeting Joel, listening to him talk about farming, we've just not stopped. We continue to raise chickens now, and we've added a few more animals, and it was a great conference with Joel, and I am so excited about him coming back for the next conference. That's going to be fun as well.
Yes, I am too, because not only does he talk about farming, but he talks about other topics too, because there are, you know, one of the reasons why I believe in having a farm now is that your food is not safe. So is that one of the reasons that got you to the country and trying to grow your own food? Were you concerned about the safety of our food?
Well, you know, I am now, but I tell you, I confess, my desire for doing farming was much more selfish than that. I was, I work for a nonprofit, and so every year they continue to cut our funding because of the economy. So we needed something to supplement our income. So the first thing I thought of was, let's, you know, sell something to make money. But after reading more and learning and talking to people, it has become more of a safer product, cleaner food, healthy living, and so yes, to answer that question two ways, yes, that is part of what we're in for, and I'm excited about hearing Joel talk about the business end of it, because I know as a as a part-time farmer that I am, one of the hardest things I'm doing is marketing and doing the business side of it. It is so easy to hatch an egg and to just to raise an animal, but to get that product in front of people to buy it, that's something completely different. So I'm excited about what Joel will be saying about the entrepreneurial part of farming.
Right. Now, you also still have a job working in corporate America, too, while you are doing, like, basically hobby farming on the side, right?
That's right. Yeah, I work as an adult educator at a county program to help people get GEDs or get into college or study for the ACT and things like that. So, yeah, I work to support my addiction as a hobby farmer.
So what else do you have on the farm now?
Well, we started with chickens several years ago, but we have rabbits that we sell for pets, pelts, and for table meat. We've raised some turkeys. I think we're going to try to do that again. We did that last year just to try it out for Christmas and Thanksgiving. That worked real well. My wife, she raises Maltese puppies, so we're doing purebred Maltese, and so chickens, rabbits, we have ducks, we've had turkeys, we're going to do turkeys again, and eventually we'd like to do geese and to get in some other type of agriculture as well.
And you have a garden?
Yes, we're growing a lot of grass and weeds right now, but we do want to do produce. I cut my teeth on ornamental landscaping. That's anytime I needed to do other extra work, I fell back into some old training I had as a landscaper. So when we moved to the country, I thought, well, you know, I'm a landscaper. I can grow stuff. Well, landscaping and growing a vegetable garden are two different things. So we are learning how to grow vegetables and wanting to go out and weed the garden. But right now, my wife has a beautiful herb garden, but my vegetables are kind of languishing.
Oh, that's sad. But I understand. That's the way it is at my house, too. We usually end up mowing the garden into the halfway through the summer. And how many acres do you have?
Well, we rent a house on 80 acres, and it's a the landowner, he keeps it for hay and for hunting, but he's allowed us to, we're on a bluff, so part of the acreage is on top of the bluff and the other is on the lower part. We live on the upper part, which has about 25 acres, so he's given us the run of 25 acres, and we're only using a fraction of it right now as we look and experiment with techniques and things that we're learning from what Joel Salatin teaches.
Well, that's great. I am just excited that you guys have taken action and put into play some of the things that you've learned at the conference after reading the books and listening to Joel talk, because that's what it's all about. You don't do anything if you don't take action. So I am so thrilled that you've done it. And you're going to be joining me for the rest of this week as we talk more about farming, aren't you?
Yes, I look forward to it. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, great. So thanks for joining us, Ralph. Ralph Hendricks is from Joy Acres Farm in Joy, Kentucky. And Jennifer Navarrete is here with us also, our social media expert from San Antonio, Texas. And I'm excited about getting to see you again, Jennifer, at the conference. And all this is going to be happening in Louisville, Kentucky on August 12th through 14th, 2016. So if you are interested in home business of all kinds, anything from social media to farming, we would love to have you join us. So thanks for joining us today, Jennifer. Great to have you here.
Thanks. It was great to be here and great to. I'm excited, Ralph. I'm taking notes on everything that you're saying, so this is going to be a note-filled week for me.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be listening to you as well, taking notes on social media and farming.
Absolutely. Because it's a new world that we live in these days. And actually, what Joel's going to be talking about is 10 ways to monetize a small farm. The first five are agricultural, and the second five are internet business related. So it's going to be a fun discussion. Plus, he brings a bunch of pictures, and he has crazy stories to tell. So I so hope that you'll be able to join us at our upcoming conference this year. It's going to be marvelous. And you'll be able to meet Ralph and Jennifer both there. So thank you all for joining us today. This is Ray Perry signing off, and hope you have a great day.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more about what we do at Educating for Success, visit us at educatingforsuccess.com.